All right, what's up, listeners? It's Jeff Taylor here in the field at the Dormont location of Espresso Amano. Allison, right here with you at the counter on Potomac Avenue at the same coffee shop we talk about on every episode. And I gotta ask you, as one of my favorite curators of music playlists, what do you have for our listeners heading into the autumn that they might want to like use as a song to trigger a great radio playlist on Spotify or Apple or whatever? Give us a recommendation.
Ooh, well, we're throwing it back, but I've been listening to a lot of Smashing Pumpkins lately, specifically Luna. So I've started off of that for my Spotify radio and just kind of let it go.
Smashing Pumpkin Spice Latte.
There it is.
That's the name of the terribly named playlist.
The horribly named playlist that the owner, Matt, will have no association with.
Oh, no. And actually, down at the Club Cafe where I'm running open mics on Wednesday nights, they're doing a coffee program down there, and they have a drink called That Pumpkin Drink or something. Like, they won't say it. So it's in the same spirit. But we are here at Espresso Amano with Ashley Taylor, also barista Allison from Espresso Amano, always curating the best playlists and just, like, you know, keeping us caffeinated, keeping us down to earth, spreading the love. Thanks to Espresso Amano and EspressoAmano.com for partnering with Fly Penguins Fly Podcast. And Allison, what's left to do at this point?
Let's get to today's episode.
Let's do it.
Is that okay?
Yes, it was good.
Hey, this is Josh Getzoff, radio voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and you're listening to Fly Penguins Fly Game Day Podcast.
We got our coffees, little cheers over the interwebs.
Nice. I'm actually fresh out, but...
Oh, no, Jordan.
I might make more. I might need more.
Yeah, we can
had
always...
quite the headache today.
We can always pause, and they won't know, but then we'll actually tell them.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, what's up, y'all? Yins? And we're back. Jordan and I are back together. Jordan DeFigio, flying solo on our last episode. I actually thought in my addled brain that there was an episode since then, but no, the last episode was like 270, whatever it was. Fidge flies solo, and it was such a cool episode and fun for me as I was running around New York, and you just got back from Nashville. We'll talk about that too, but Jordan and I running around, you know, when the leaves start to turn colors on the trees, we go make albums. There's something about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear your new stuff. I'm such a big Noah Jordan fan, and your voice is just pure gold, Jordan. Your guitar playing, your songwriting, your arranging, the people you bring together for the albums you make. I can't wait to hear what you're up to.
I'm excited about it. It's just one song right now, but it's a 10th anniversary re-recording of the first single from my first album. So
brilliant.
Really throwing it back, but it came together in such a fun way. Because it was one of those tracking experiences where I could hear it in my head because the song already exists and is in the world, but there were different tweaks that I wanted to make to it, and was like, I want these exact things at these exact places, and it feels really grown up and a little bit meaner.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get it out there.
It's definitely a time when grown-ups are being mean for all kinds of reasons. So but I'm getting a little meaner.
A little meaner. Sometimes you gotta.
We're back. It's Fly Penguins Fly. It is episode 271, so kind of the Gino, 200 plus Gino. That's today's episode number, and the Penguins have been rumbling. They've been winning some preseason games, looking pretty fly. The Penguins looking fly. Come on, folks.
Nice.
We're trying
good
over
one
here. And winning some games on the road, winning some games at home. There was, of course, the Marc-Andre Fleury game that happened We didn't get the episode out at the end of that week because it was just a lot going on. Jordan was out of town. I was pulling a lot of shifts in my part-time job. And we know we're about to start giving you guys two episodes a week as we ramp up into the regular season. Boy, do we have some fun stuff in store. Starting next week, on the day the Penguins play their home opener versus the visiting New York Islanders, probably featuring first round number one draft pick Matthew Schaefer, we will be having on to the podcast both Josh Yoey and Rob Rossi of The Athletic for a season kickoff Fly Penguins Fly episode. Now, that'll be the only episode next week, but after that, beginning on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, that following week, you're going to get two episodes per week, and that is the schedule. So that's what we're rolling out. And at the end of that week, we're going to be up with the Erie Otters of the OHL. So we are putting the pedal to the metal. We have some other exciting stuff brewing as well. And speaking of brewing, so cool to hear in the intro from Espresso Amano, our great partners here in Allegheny County in Pittsburgh, PA, to hear Allison, one of my favorite baristas in Pittsburgh, curating the playlists and serving up the delicious lattes. Excellent latte art as well, even though that's kind of her secondary gig, but we'll leave that there. Thanks to Allison for coming on for the intro and giving us some music recommendations as well. So shout out to Espresso Amano and Allison. But Jordan, tonight, before we get into the hockey talk, tonight things are going to get a little, I'd say spooky, but the Twilight movies, there is some scary stuff in there. I mean, there is some stuff I won't watch right before bed. I mean, but right up to the baseball scene in the first Twilight movie, it is like the perfect thing to lull me off to sleep because there's not much going on behind the eyes of the actors between the ears, both either of the writer, director, actors, nothing. It's just vapidity in its most glorious form. Ashley, my wife, Ashley Taylor, and I are going to be performing tonight at Mr. Small's Funhouse. If you're catching this episode at the last minute, just in time, come into Millvale, park your car by that famous intersection of Mr. Small's Theater and Mr. Small's Recording. It's right there at the same intersection. And come on up to the Funhouse. You got to meander your way up the stone staircase, past the marquee, that cheesy LED marquee, and then around the side to a hidden door, and then you got to walk up the stairs and you're in the Funhouse. So good luck finding it. But once you're in there, tonight is a roast of Twilight, like the original movie featuring a lot of local comic talent. And to kick things off, Ashley and I will be performing a duo version of Blue Foundation's Eyes on Fire. And I love the title because it's like Eyes on Fire. There's no fire behind the eyes. There's nothing. There's no point to the movie at that stage. You think it, you know the song, ho a ho a ho a ho a ho a, and you're like, oh, that's when her and Edward meet and they exchange their first nope. Nope. There's just nothing. There's just some kid walking by with a backpack and Bella Swan is staring off into the pine trees, about nothing.
God.
I love it.
I haven't seen that movie in forever, but I need to watch it in preparation for this evening because I'm going to be in attendance with a handful of my friends.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
I'm excited.
I have no recollection of, I only saw the first two.
Will y'all save Ashley and I a seat?
Yeah.
I want to hang
absolutely
with you guys because we're only on stage for like 10 minutes and then, yeah.
Hell yeah! It's gonna be quite the night.
What's your first memory of seeing the Twilight movie? Like, did you see it in the theater or did you watch it on DVD?
I watched the first one on DVD. I saw the second one in theaters, and it was only because my best friend in high school was really into the Twilight movies, and I was like, sure, yeah, I'll watch it. And I don't remember anything from the movies. I just
your brain was wiped by all the nothingness.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. They were just, the director was taking a magic eraser to my brain after every scene. I can't recall, but I do remember thinking it was terrible.
Here's the sound of you getting your brain wiped. I don't know. I just had this thing sitting next to me. This mallet instrument. So second movie, I think, was that New Moon?
I think so. It's the one where Edward goes away. That's the only thing I remember.
Jacob slides in there, takes off his clothes, and he's all ripped and cuts
and
his hair
Bella's
off.
And Bella's despondent. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so brilliantly.
I just remember the seasons change. She just stays content in her room, and the seasons are changing around her.
Oh yeah,
it was so tacky.
So good. I love it. All right, so that's tonight at Mr. Small's Funhouse. But the Pittsburgh Penguins are back in action in the preseason form, of course, and they're kicking some ass. We are getting some solid looks at some of the players that we've been wondering about over the summer. It is no longer summer. We're solidly in the post-summer autumnal time period.
It's October.
We're in October.
Hockey time.
It is hockey zone, and I really sound like someone who's in the hockey world. It's hockey zone in Pittsburgh.
We're both getting there. It's fine.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Folks, I swear to God, we kind of know about the puck. We don't know what's going to happen in advance because we're just ho, 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 ho. Like, that's how we're trying to live our lives right now. We're watching the leaves turn, literally watching, sitting, doing nothing for days at a time, watching and hoping that the leaves will turn and that life will just continue. Because that's a good pursuit. Just to hope that tomorrow comes is, like, really, I think, pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I'm grateful for every day I get to wake up and watch the Penguins play hockey.
Yeah.
Am I grateful as I'm watching? Maybe not so much, but
But you're a lifelong Pittsburgh sports fan. I mean, what can be expected of you at this point? Like, you've had all the glory that you can possibly imagine with the Steelers as a kid, with the Penguins as a young adult. I mean, but we're now in this lull, this haze, like just like the fumes from the coke plant kind of like settle in the valleys and you smell that kind of weird it's not a sulfur smell. It's hard to describe. It's not really stinky. It's sort of just, it's this ness, N-E-S-S.
It's smelly. Yeah, it smells.
Sometimes. Yeah. And then sometimes the wind comes through and blows it away. Like, and that's kind of where things are at with the sports right now. I mean, there's no hope in sight for the Pirates ever.
No.
Steelers, I don't know.
Maybe.
They're
3-1. They're looking okay. We'll see what happens. But yeah, you know, it's very reminiscent of the seasons that I grew up watching when they had Cordell Stewart at quarterback and then switched to Tommy Maddox. And it was just kind of like they were always sort of in the mix.
And then
they
bang.
Weren't a spectacular team by any stretch. They just were kind of good throughout the regular season and then disappointing beyond that. So it's hard to get excited, but watching football and watching them win and even just flashes of good football, well-coached football throughout the game is just, I love it. So, you know, we're here for it. It's part of what being a fan encompasses. And
that's true.
That includes the lull seasons as well, because we had plenty of those before the Steelers won their Super Bowls and the Penguins won their cups. It's, you know, it just, we're in that time and you kind of just lean on sports to be something a little bit bigger and commiserating with fans
that's
fellow
like,
fans. Yeah, that's what
gets
you through.
What would we be without each other to, like, you know, drag on about the bummer that is being a middling franchise for years on end. The future of the franchise, though, the future of the Pittsburgh Penguins, been on display. And some of these names we've been hearing a lot about over the summer. Of course, the last couple of years, Owen Pickering is a big defenseman with a lot of potential. He's starting to look very solid. Harrison Brunick continues to look great. I know Josh Yoey's incredibly excited about him and has been writing a lot about how he feels Brunick should stay up with the big club. And then there are some other names. Ben Kindle just drafted this previous year here. This year, I should say, this previous draft. Looking great. Something that we are going to see, apparently, and this is something I don't know how I've made it this many seasons into being a fan of the NHL and didn't fully have my head wrapped around this. Do you know about the 9-game trial period? Like, giving these prospects 9 games, and that's the max they can have before their contract clicks in?
I did not know that.
I didn't know about this. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I just looked this up before we started. It's called, essentially, the contract slide rule. Not slide rule, like the tool, like using a slide rule to do, you know, multiplication or whatever. But it's you can slide the contract back by like X amount of games. You can have a player like Ben Kindle, for instance, play the first 9 games of the season, or 3 games now, and then 3 more later, and then 3 at the end of the season. As long as these players only do 9 games in an 82-game season, you do not engage and act their entry-level contract, which I guess triggers their rookie season. I think that's kind of that's basically.
Okay.
I may be wrong about the rookie season term, but basically they become their contract begins then. Like their first official full season NHL contract would begin at that point. So if that's a league minimum $775,000 contract, whatever that is. So, but if you keep them in the AHL, most of the season they only come up, play 7, 8, and then 9 is the total that they're allowed to do. They are still considered a prospect that's just been called up for a few games.
Okay.
And it's a little depressing in a way, because you want to see these guys on a larger sample size. And yet, you want to, as the ownership, you want to preserve the opportunity that you have for them to be kept at that entry level, you know, contract. So, you know, that is a very ham-fisted way of describing something that I'm still learning about. It is definitely the opinion of Josh Yowie that most of these guys should get this trial period, right? And the full run of that trial period because of how well they're performing, and maybe even to do that sooner than later. But in the case of Harrison Brunick, I didn't know this, in the Canadian Hockey League, in the juniors in general, the players who are the property of a junior team, Harrison Brunick is up in Kamloops, I believe, but because he's only 19 and on a juniors team, he can't play in the AHL.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
So I got to learn more about this, but basically he either comes up to the big club, and he can do, I think he can do his 9 games as well, but beyond that, he can't go down to Wilkes, and you're not going to send him to Wheeling. Right, there's just no purpose. He might as well be at the junior team. But a lot of, you know, Josh has, of course, been writing about, well, what's the point of sending him back to Kamloops if he could just be with the Penguins and he's already excelling? And he's an exception to the rule in that way. So one of the few who will qualify for that type of suggestion, I guess. So, boy, I probably sound pretty dumb talking about some of this stuff. But you know what? I'm learning it in real time. And also, as we said earlier, I got music brain right now. I got summer brain and I got part-time job brain. So We're just here getting the hockey noodle dusted off. What about you, Jordan? What's on your mind as we near the season opener on the road versus the New York Rangers early next week?
I'm all of my attention is going to be on Dan Muse, I think. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, a general manager can make as many moves as he needs to make to try to set the team up for success in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't have the right guy behind the bench, it doesn't really matter. And I think, you know, we're going to see, I hope, a lot of movement to sort of figure out which pieces of the puzzle are actually long-term guys for this franchise moving forward. And I don't know, Dan Muse has been spoken of quite highly for how he works with younger players. And that's what the Penguins are trying to pull up onto the onto the professional roster. So I'm just, yeah, I'm curious to see how he handles things in his first season. Because, you know, we heard how he was handling training camp and was pretty, pretty full steam ahead. So I'm just going to be eyeballing him to see if he kind of keeps that up, how he deals with the veterans on the team. I don't know.
That veterans thing you're mentioning here.
Yeah.
What an unenviable task.
Yeah.
To have to look like a good-hearted, earnest, hard-working person like Noel Achari in the eye and say, you know, nope, I'm bringing this kid up. You know, like, again, Noel Achari has not earned Muse being obsessed with keeping him around. I mean, if you can find, and I'm sure he will soon enough be able to find someone to replace him or Kevin Hayes or, you know, some of these types of individuals. Obviously, some of the contracts are particularly bad, and I'm drawing on Josh Yowie's article in The Athletic for this one. But, like, Ryan Graves. He actually had a couple of bright moments in one of the games I watched and appeared to be buzzing around the net and doing everything he could. But it just isn't the right fit. He's never...
No, never has been.
Black and gold. I mean, when he was a Devil, I guess I thought of him as a threat in some way just because they always beat us. But I don't think he was probably even that much a part of it. Like, I refuse to believe that Ryan Graves was factoring that much into things like what Jesper Bratt was doing or Jack Hughes or, you know, oh God, who's that guy I cannot stand who now is an Islander? Always beats us in every way, shape, or form. Kyle Palmieri.
Oh, God, that guy.
That guy. He's got our number. There's nothing that you can do against Kyle Palmieri if you're a Pittsburgh Penguin. He's going to score goals on you and probably walk away with a W. But, you know, and the other thing too, Jordan, you know, you're talking about Dan Muse and what he's got ahead of him. We got to stop pucks.
Yeah.
Like, one of the big reasons we are simply going to be waiting a while is because we cannot depend on Tristan Jarry. I don't care if he starts the season with 10 straight victories. It don't matter.
He's gonna not consistent.
Nope.
Yep. You can't take any sample size with him and predict moving forward what he's going to look like because it just is – he's a completely different player from a 110 game stretch to the next. And you simply can't have that in net. And
I was at practice one day, my buddy, our local music scene peer around here, Anthony Vincent Jardine, who's been on the podcast before and is the proprietor over at City Winery. We were sitting at practice together watching the first group of the day. And it was Sid and Gino and Tanger and Carl. I mean, it was like all the big guys were out there, you know, because they hadn't played in the previous night's preseason game and they were fresh. Like, one of the goalie coaches was in one of the nets for most of the drills. And in the other net, I don't recall, honestly, right now, which goaltender it was. I don't remember if it was Blomqvist or who, but Shelovs, I'm not exactly sure. But it was one of the actual prospects or up-and-coming goaltenders, or I should say, you know, roster goaltenders with the Penguins. Tristan Jarry was at center ice, but on the boards, so really close to where I was sitting, just through the glass, with Nick Bonino. And they were working on... Jarry was pretending to be in the net with his back to the boards, and Bonino was skating in on him with the puck, slow motion style, trying to, like, I guess, work on a certain type of emotion that Jarry was trying to shed, you know, trying to get better with. And I guess maybe that's typical. Maybe as a goalie, you don't, in order to get better at certain things, you're actually, it behooves you to be away from the drills and the line rushes or whatever it is. But I watched him sitting there and I just, you can't, once you see a certain type of thing or you smell a certain type of thing on a player in certain jerseys or colors, it's over. I mean, this is fan talk, people. This is not, I'm not basing this on any stats. I'm basing it on the times that we've simply watched Tristan Jarry fail in Black and Gold. And I don't want that for him. Like, I definitely don't want it for the Penguins, and I don't want it for him. You know, he has shown streaks of brilliance, and if he's got that available, you know, and if he can find chemistry with a certain team, these goalies have to want to play, and the players have to want to play for them. These young kids coming up, they know who Tristan Jarry is, and the veterans damn well know who he is. Sid, you think Sidney Crosby hasn't already made his mind up about what Tristan Jarry is capable of in Pittsburgh? Like, I'm not saying he doesn't go. He goes out there and tries harder than anybody every night. But man, we gotta be ready, because this is it. I mean, we got at least another full season of dealing with mediocrity at best. I mean, that's my prediction.
Yeah, you're right. It's gonna be a rough one, but you know, I think they're gonna learn a lot too. And hopefully after one season for Dan Muse and Kyle Dubas working with him and seeing what he's capable of with the roster that Kyle Dubas has assembled, hopefully next offseason will be a much bigger one than this offseason. And the Pens have so much cap space to work with when next offseason hits. You got so many draft picks in those first couple rounds. I think this season we're going to have to buckle up, but we can get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely can. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this tweet from a future friend of the podcast, Haley Hunter.
Hey,
because we got to have her on. Haley Hunter, if you're out there, we love you. We just think you're an absolute gem of the Pittsburgh broadcast scene out there. Seen her around the rink a couple times, said hello. She seemed very friendly, so we'll have to get her on sometime. But she tweets, yesterday, the Pittsburgh Penguins placed six players on waivers today, including Danton Heinen, no surprise there. That Sebastian Aho, or this Sebastian Aho. Valtteri Pustinen. Love that Valtteri Pustinen. There's something about his game. Whenever he's around, you know, I feel pretty good. So, okay, but he's on waivers. Joona Koponen. Phil Kemp, never heard of him. Philip Larson, also the goaltender. They will remain there until 2 p.m. on Friday. So that is coming up as we record right now, the end of that waivers period. Most of those players likely will go unclaimed and end up in Wilkes and et cetera. And that, there you go. Other players on the waiver wire, and this was kind of, she was replying to a Puckpedia tweet that showed other players who are on the wire, and I'm just scanning down that list to see if I see any other names from around the league that I'm surprised to see. And no, I don't see any other names like Golden Knights, Canucks, Mammoth, Oilers, Flames. All the players placed on those waivers are people I've never heard of, so we're going to just leave it at that. But that's it. You know, the Pens are getting ready to kick off this regular season. And at that point, you know, you're going to see a Letang power play goal. You're going to see a great save by Tristan Jarry occasionally. You're going to see Sidney Crosby doing Sidney Crosby things. The excitement will be back. The Penguins will play up and beat teams they shouldn't beat. May start with the New York Rangers and their ex-coach, Mike Sullivan. That's a big story. Let's talk about that for a second. The Penguins are going to 7th Avenue and 32nd Street, or whatever that exact corner is, where you can dip off the street down that big flight of stairs into Penn Station, and they're taking on the New York Rangers. You got to figure Igor Shesterkin's going to be in net for the Blue Shirts.
Yeah.
Some of these big names over there, their new captain, right? Has he been officially made captain? JT Miller, I believe, is the new captain. Okay. And, you know, they used to be called the no-quit Rangers, right? And that was kind of when they failed to get over the hump. And JT Miller has said, we're the no BS Rangers now. Like, we're the no bullshit New York Rangers. He's a scary dude, JT Miller. He's a guy with some wires that ain't right, and in a good way. If you're a coach, he will take a piece out of you. He's got the big offensive upside, and he's just an intimidating looking man. I've seen him down at the rink before. I think I saw him on like a summer skate one time, or part of one of the Goat League games. About 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, when I was first checking out the Goat League before I became involved with it, and he and Vince Trocheck and I don't know if John Gibson came for one of those games. I don't believe so. I think he was already a little further along in his career at that point. These Pittsburgh area guys who occasionally would come back. Of course, Logan Cooley was a part of the Goat League at that time. And now we're seeing players like Christian Humphreys, property of the Colorado Avalanche and whatnot, doing the summer league here. But, you know, it is really going to be something to watch Dan Muse get behind the bench for his first game as an NHL head coach. And at the Pittsburgh Penguins, at the helm of the Pittsburgh Penguins versus the longtime multiple Stanley Cup winning Mike Sullivan, who's always looked good in a fine suit. Now he's got, I wonder if that suit's going to be a little finer. Did Pat Riley, former head coach of the New York Knicks, or, you know, some other New York type guy, give him a call and say, hey, go down to this tailor and get looking good for that first game on Broadway? Why do they always say on Broadway? Madison Square Garden is not on Broadway. It's between 8th Avenue and 7th Avenue in New York City. It's a full city block and a half from Broadway. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Haven't spent a week there since last we featured me on this podcast. It is a badass place.
Yeah,
New York. New York City. You know, you can listen to what all the BS podcasts out there say about the crime. I mean, there's always been crime in New York City. There's always somebody, there's always a chance if you don't watch yourself, you know, you get involved talking to somebody who isn't playing with a full deck. They might pull something on you. I mean, it's a vast city with many, 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 many millions of people living there. And there is some crime there, but the takeaway is not that, unless you obviously are involved in an altercation like that or something and something like that befalls you, the experience of being in New York is usually just a wondrous one. And the restaurants and the culture and the people are helpful and friendly, and they might have a stone face. But if you ever go to New York City, Penguins fans, you're going to New York for this Rangers game, right? You need directions? As we would say in New Jersey, ask somebody. All right? Just go ask them. And they're going to tell you, oh, you actually are talking to me? Okay, sure. F train, you know what? Let me walk you down the block. I'll show you where it is. They're actually incredibly friendly and helpful. Not as outwardly friendly as Pittsburghers are. I think we have an embarrassment of riches here in that way that people have a friendlier face on. But I wouldn't say that people here are any actually friendlier than New Yorkers. New Yorkers are wonderful. You just have to get through that facade that they have had to keep up, because there is a little bit more crazy bullshit to deal with in New York. I mean, the subway system is lit. The subway system is wild. I don't know, Jordan, can you get me back on the rails?
Yeah, so the Penguins will be there on Tuesday against the Rangers, not on Broadway.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but New York is really cool. You're right. I think it gets a bad rap because the population density alone, it's just people constantly have to be pushing their way through crowds to get wherever they're going, so that they have
Spider-Man lives there, and Dr. Octopus are having battles, and there's these giant canyons of buildings that extend up into the heavens. It really is a gigantic city too. Like Pittsburgh, we only have a couple blocks where you can walk around and see a skyscraper. There you can go for miles, and you're in these, if you're in those middle avenues, people, I don't know if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't really strolled in New York, even in the last 10 years, the skyline has changed dramatically. Like, there's literally less sun in the middle of town now. It's looking more and more like Gotham City because of how enormous these residential high-rises that have been popping up have become. But you were saying about Spider-Man, Jordan?
He's my favorite superhero, and I do think he's a Penguins fan as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He's definitely not
Batman
a freaking Rangers
not,
fan.
Batman is not, but Spidey's definitely.
What's Batman's hockey team? For you, or what do you know it to be?
Well, I was just assuming.
I like this thread. I think our listeners are going to like this. Jordan DeFigio, what is Batman's favorite NHL club?
It's not the Penguins, because one of his adversaries is the Penguin. But
You're so much smarter than I am.
I'm really not, but I do think that if Batman were to pick a team, who would he go with? It wouldn't be one of the Florida teams. I feel like he'd be a Minnesota Wild fan.
Okay, I dig it. I mean, the Wild, like the vast forests of Minnesota do feel like a good place to film the Batmobile scene where he like peels off of the main road and goes rocketing through that private back roads area into the Batcave, that back way into Wayne Manor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You need these filming locations. They can't all be in Pittsburgh. Like,
correct.
The Dark Knight was filmed here, or that infamous scene where Bane blows up the football field and kills all those people. That's here in Pittsburgh in Heinz Field.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, I can't wait to get to another Steeler game. People, we talk about it all the time. Come to Pittsburgh, go to a Penguins game. But by God, go to a Steeler game if you can. That is the open to the heavens. And I mean, when they say, that's a Pittsburgh Steelers, first down. Woo!
They were doing that in Ireland, too, which was so cool. I loved that. Cool. Since we were technically the home team.
They had Renegade going, Irish Renegade.
Wild. Yeah, I was watching on my phone as I was helping friends get their wedding set up early that morning.
Yeah.
But it sounded like, through my phone speakers, it sounded like their Heinz Field PA announcer. Oh. So
Mick Heinz.
Yep.
Mick Heinz. Heinz Field. I don't know how else to do this. Heinz Chesney Field.
Nice.
Okay. So you're going to say Minnesota Wild for Batman. I'm going to do one more. I'm going to pick a villain from the comics. One of my favorite villains.
Mm.
And I'm going to go with Kingpin from the Spider-Man and Daredevil world. He's kind of like a big, and I'm actually going to say Kingpin, who's kind of like a mafioso, you know, big bodied, kind of like intimidating guy sitting at the table at the back of the club, like intriguing, you know. I'm going to say he's a Ranger fan.
Oh, yeah.
And while Mike Sullivan is not the kind of guy who would do a favor for a guy like Kingpin, I could see him summoning Sully to the table and at least saying to him, hey, do me a favor. Do me a favor. I want Igor Shesterkin out in the third period. You know, now, does Sully do that for Kingpin? Do you think Mike Sullivan has the cojones to defy such a force as like a super villain mobster like Kingpin, who's got all these crazy high-tech space technology weapons at his disposal and super villains on speed dial? Do you think Sully has the balls to keep Igor in net if Kingpin says, I need you to take him out in the third period?
If Kingpin's wrong, I think Sully does.
Oh,
yeah.
Jordan. I love it.
Yeah.
I do want to say one more time before we kind of do our last post-amble about the Penguins' upcoming games, make a couple predictions here. I want to thank Espresso Amano for being Fly Penguins Fly podcast's partner in crime. Dun, dun, dun. We have the Arty Ethiopia roast right here on my desk, my last cup. I'm actually about to go down there and see Allison, who you heard in the intro, on my way to my part-time job. I'm going to stop in at the Dormont Espresso Amano location on Potomac Avenue, where I just recently restocked Jordan and my stickers for Fly Penguins Fly. You guys can get them at two locations for free. They are a deep kind of burned gold color. They are Soviet constructionist sort of inspired artwork, at least the current version. We're going to be doing another redesign soon, another alt swag sticker soon. But the current ones are still in stock. The Generation 2 sticker, if we can call it, because it's the second redesign we've done. Go down to get your stickers at Espresso Amano on Potomac Avenue in a nice little wood and brass stand that we've got there near the point of sale. All right, get yourself a latte, get yourself a bag of beans, Espresso Amano, hand-roasted single-origin coffees from Colombia, from Papua New Guinea. What a smooth one that one is. I can't remember the actual name of that one, so I'm not going to try to make it up. But it's a Papua New Guinea roast. And then, of course, the Ethiopian stuff I just can't get enough of. The other location on Butler Street in Lawrenceville, which is also the Espresso Amano Roastery. And they've got unbelievable breakfast sandies for you. Sammies. I could not get a word out there. Sammies. That are just phenomenal. And pastries down there. So that's a bigger cafe. You can pick up a lot of the cool, like, anti-establishment artists newsprint rags about local things going on. If you're looking for posters of where the gigs are happening, that Espresso Amano location is great for that as well. People, these coffee houses, these places, these roasteries are the last stand. They're where artists meet. They're where podcasts convene. They're where hockey talk happens. And in Pittsburgh, we have locally roasted coffee by EspressoAmano.com. So I'm just going a little extra ham on that one today, thanking them for partnering with Jordan and me here at Fly Penguins Fly Podcast. Jordan, we got two games on the slate for this opening week, and at least in the weekdays before they go on a West Coast trip, I'm so excited. Like, Sidney Crosby in that beautiful black 87 in gold letters. They're going to get called out on the ice by Ryan Mill, the PA announcer with the game ops team on Thursday night when the Islanders come to town, and they always give us problems. But Ryan Mill is going to announce that these big three have been together for 20 bleeping years.
Hell yeah.
Oh, and I mean, I'm not going to be there because those tickets are astronomically expensive, but we were both there, I think, last season or two seasons ago.
The year before.
When the contracts all got like re-signed and Gino came back and the intro you've been waiting for. And like, they had scored the goal and it was like Malkin from Letang and Crosby or something. And, you know, the vibes are going to be high. They're going to be crazy. But first, New York, Jordan, I want predictions on the Pittsburgh Penguins with some of these young prospects who will probably still be up there. Likely going to be Tristan Jarry in net. You know, or unless it's Shelovs, but I'm almost certain it'll be Jarry versus Shesterkin at Madison Square Garden. What do you think happens on that night?
I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game. I think it's going to be one of those confounding performances by Tristan Jarry where he and Shesterkin are just in a shootout the whole game trying to see who can keep it at zeros across the board. But yeah. I think the Rangers are going to win. I think it's probably going to be shutout for Shesterkin. I don't know if we're going to get a goal in there.
Can it get one past him on that particular night?
I don't think so. I have a feeling he's going to come out real strong.
No Sidney Crosby on the big stage under the bright lights in Madison Square Garden scoring a goal?
I think he's going to get close. I think he's going to get really, really close, but Shesterkin's just going to have the leg up.
Yeah, like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant in New York.
Yeah.
Russian dog, Laika, the dog who never came back. You know, the Russian government tried to sell their people that Laika probably like passed out or something from this. Laika suffocated.
That's so sad.
Sweet little dog. Хорошо. Good little dog. Okay, Jordan DeFiggio at Fidge Newton has a shutout for the New York Rangers over the Pittsburgh Penguins on Tuesday night in New York City. I'm going to say Penguins win this game 3-2 in overtime. And Sidney Crosby gets the overtime game-winning goal. The other goals are going to be from Mika Zibanejad and JT Miller. I'm going to say there's going to be at least one fight. And that fight is going to be between Avery Hayes and Mike Sullivan.
Nice.
I literally have no idea of the New York Rangers roster. Like who? He's not going to fight JT Miller, for instance. And I cannot think of who is even on that team. Matt Rempe's probably going to play in that game because that sells a lot of tickets. And I understand that he has been more in the good graces of the coaching staff. I think he's going to be more of a regular. Matt Rempe likes to fight. Who's going to take that fight? Could it be Avery Hayes? He's a much smaller guy, and he would probably be a tough one for him, but he's supposed to be some kind of rascal. So do we see Hayes challenging the skyscraper, the 7-footer or whatever, Matt Rempe, to a fist fight? Who's going to score else for the Pittsburgh Penguins? One of the young guys. I'm going to say Harrison Brunick is going to find himself with the puck on his stick, and he's going to sneak one by. He's going to get a defenseman's goal, and it's going to be the second goal of the game. And the first goal of the game for the Penguins is going to be scored by Erik Karlsson. Just in the same spirit of you with the confounding performance by Jarry, Carlson's once again going to do something that sort of beautifully pisses us off, and why can't you do that all the time? So two defensemen are going to score the goals for the Penguins, send it to OT, and Crosby's going to win it. I'm not even going to make any predictions about the second game. We'll actually have Josh Yeo and Rob Rossi here to talk about that game when the Islanders will be facing the Penguins here in Pittsburgh pregame, right after morning skate. Jordan, we're warming up the machine here. We're warming up the hockey brains, and love you, and good to see you. Good to talk hockey with you, and I'll see you tonight at Mr. Small's Funhouse for the Twilight
Can't
roast.
Filling
every foe with my gaze. That's one of the lines in the song. It's not much there. Jordan DeFigio at Fidge Newton on social media at The Noah Jordan for all the music stuff. Check out and get ready. Follow at The Noah Jordan. Get ready for a new release from Jordan coming up soon. Myself included, Jeff Taylor alive for the music online and the podcast on Instagram at Fly Penguins Fly and on X, Blue Sky and all that. We are at Pens Pod. Check us out. Jordan, keeping it short. Let's go, Pens.
Let's go, Pens.